We're at the intersection of the COVID vaccine and what employers can do to encourage workers to get their dose. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is now one of the leading states for the average number of COVID vaccines administered each day. Nearly 823,000 doses have been administered as of yesterday. That's the latest from the Department of Health Services. And workers wonder, what can my employer do to help me get the shot? And employers wonder, what can they do to make sure their workers get vaccinated? What do you want to know about vaccine mandates in the work setting? 800-642-1234. Brittany Lopez-Nollet is partner at Reinhardt Berner Van Duren. She works in the labor and employment and litigation practices. Brittany, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just go straight to it. Are employers legally allowed to require workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Generally, yes. There is nothing prohibiting an employer from mandating the vaccine at the workplace. The question, though, then becomes, should they?
Should they? Yeah. What do you see?
Generally, my thought is they shouldn't. And I'll elaborate a little bit on some of the considerations. The first one is going to be the risk level of your workplace. You know, there are obviously industries that are much higher risk in healthcare, corrections. Obviously, we've seen with meat processing and other manufacturing locations that can't socially distance. So that's one question you want to look at, the risk level. Another issue you want to look at is how will a mandate impact your workforce morale? We're seeing a good amount of either vaccine hesitancy or, you know, people who just don't want to be in the initial groups of people taking the vaccine. So it is a hesitancy in the mindset that they just want to wait a little bit. So if you have a mandate and you have a large percentage of people wanting to wait or not get the vaccine, and they don't have a religious or medical exemption, then those people would need to be excluded from the workplace or somehow working remote or doing something to keep your other employees and customers safe. And so can your workplace handle that if there is a percentage of people that are suddenly unavailable?
So can your workplace make those accommodations? Is that even feasible? What I'm hearing here from you as well is that it's not just hospitals and healthcare facilities that would be in this boat of wondering, well, you know, maybe we should mandate it because of risk. What are some other areas where you might see employers take this step to make a mandate in the workplace?
There's been a lot of discussion about it with other companies whose employees are public facing or interacting a lot with customers. You know, we have grocery store workers who have kind of been on the front lines every day still, you know, providing services. And so that's a big one. Obviously, educators is another area where, you know, we have employees that are at risk every day based on what they're doing when they're in person.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Brittany Lopez-Nollet, who's an attorney who works on cases involving employment issues, and we're discussing the role that employers have in trying to get staff vaccinated against COVID and what workplace policies might look like. With your questions, do you work around people regularly? Are you eligible to receive the vaccine? What are your thoughts on a mandate in the workplace? 800-642-1234. Brittany, in December, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued guidance on employer-mandated vaccines. What did they spell out?
So their guidance confirms that a mandate is not per se illegal. Their guidance also walks through what employers need to consider if they do implement a mandate, and that is that there are accommodations available to employees under the Americans with Disabilities Act for medical-related issues that would prevent those employees from getting the vaccine. And there's also the ability to make a request for an exemption on a religious basis under Title VII. And so the EEOC was reminding employers that they need to appropriately assess those requests for accommodation. And if those accommodations are not appropriately assessed, there is some risk for employers and some potential liability.
Well, explain there that law around, quote unquote, here, medical examinations under the ADA. What does that pertain to? You know, what is that area like?
So the vaccine itself is not a medical examination, but there may be questions associated with getting the vaccine about allergies, about whether an employee is pregnant, that would provide the employer with medical information about those employees. And there are obligations that employers have to keep the information confidential and also to make sure that that information is necessary to be gathered. Mm-hmm. And one workaround is if you have a third party that is responsible for implementing the vaccine program. So with obviously some nursing homes, we've seen Walgreens be involved or other pharmacies. That way, those third parties are the ones handling those questions and receiving that medical information. So that gives the employer some distance from that information.
And so as the employer starts to craft a policy, if they choose to do so, would that policy then perhaps center around requiring vaccination to stay employed at said company or requiring vaccination as a condition to return to the physical workplace?
So it could be both, depending on, you know, what the employer's current status of workers in the workplace is. It could be either. If you currently have a large portion of your workforce working remotely or potentially furloughed and you're looking to reopen and you have made the decision to implement a mandatory program, then it could be a condition of returning to the workplace. Mm. We are starting to see a little bit more of that. Nationally, we've seen some stories about, particularly recently, a law firm that has decided for employees to return to the office, they do need to have the vaccine.
These vaccines fall under the FDA's EUA, the Emergency Use Authorization. EUA differs greatly from full vaccine approval. How does the EUA factor into a vaccine policy at an employer?
The EEOC in their guidance did not make any distinction, and we haven't seen anything yet from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration on how that implements mandatory or voluntary programs. But for employers assessing, you know, how employees are going to react to that, that is something you want to factor into it. May give rise to some hesitancy, but there are also materials that employers and, you know, employees on their own can go and review to make sure that they have factual and reliable information that they are relying on when they are reviewing information about the vaccine. So the FDA has their EUA fact sheet. The CDC has several materials. So employees can access that on their own, or employers, if they're trying to kind of start to build encouragement for the vaccine before it is widely available, they can start providing some of those materials so that their employees are fully informed.
Attorney Brittany Lopez-Nollet is explaining what employers should bear in mind as they craft workplace COVID vaccination strategy. Do you work in healthcare or are you a first responder? Has your workplace incentivized getting vaccinated or made access to the vaccine easier for you? Are you on the fence about getting the vaccine? What communication have you received from your employer on this? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Brittany Lopez-Nollet on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're discussing the newest challenge employers face in the pandemic now that COVID vaccines are being distributed. Can you require your workers to get shots? Or can you encourage employees to voluntarily get vaccinated? And if so, what kinds of incentives are permissible? And how do you establish a vaccine policy? Bring your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. We have Brittany Lopez-Nollet, who is a partner in Reinhart's labor and employment and litigation practices. She's our guide with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Sarah now, joining us from Decorah, Iowa this morning. Hi, Sarah. What would you like to add?
Hi. I actually work at a school. I'm a teacher's associate at a private school, but we're part of a larger administration in the county, and they are offering us, you know, all the teachers throughout the school-wide system, including three schools, an entire day to get vaccinated. So they're closing down the school, and they're allowing the teachers to, I mean, it's not required, it's not mandated, but they are allowing them to go and get vaccinated if they so choose. The only thing is we weren't really given a lot of information ahead of time. We were told, well, school will close in next day, and then you can get your shot then. I only, you know, even though we're educators, we kind of were supposed to kind of do all our research.
You have to have that in line ahead of time, right? Sarah, thank you for bringing that. Brittany, is that, do you think, a typical incentive there, offering time off for the employee to get vaccinated, a day in this case?
Yeah, that is a really great potential incentive, especially the way that this particular school district has chosen to do it. The incentives area is a bit gray. We're still hoping we get a little bit more guidance from the EEOC, but here, this incentive is being provided across the board to everyone, regardless of whether they choose to get the vaccine. So it is an encouragement, but you're not having any risk of, you know, making sure that people who don't get the vaccine but qualify for an accommodation receive it. And because it is across the board, you don't rise to the level of raising concerns that the EEOC has flagged, where the EEO says, if you're going to give this as an incentive to get a vaccine, it should be of de minimis value. But here, where you're giving it across the board and it's not actually tied to receipt of the vaccine, you're a lot safer. And a full day seems to be a generous incentive that district is providing.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Door County. Hi, John. What is your question?
Hi. I had a question regarding accommodations and protections under the ADA. The Pfizer vaccine specifically is an mRNA gene treatment, not really a vaccine. Is it possible that workers have protections specifically regarding a requirement for that kind of medical treatment?
John, thanks. Brittany, could you get that with the Pfizer vaccine there?
Yes, and I'm obviously not a medical professional, and so whether there is a specific issue with, you know, whether it's the Pfizer or, you know, the Moderna, you would still need to work with your physician to assess whether either vaccine is appropriate. If for some reason only the Pfizer vaccine was available to you and that was not going to be medically appropriate for you, you would work through your normal, it's called the interactive process with your employer, where you submit that you need an accommodation and then you work through that process with them. If only one of the two vaccines would be inappropriate for you, they would still, if there's a mandate, may be able to request that you get the other one, but there might be some accommodation built in around giving you some extra time to get that, given some of the restrictions you may have.
Can we spend a moment here on HIPAA, the federal privacy law? You know, a person's vaccinations are confidential information under HIPAA. How would HIPAA factor into what an employer can do on the vaccine policy?
So HIPAA normally is not going to cover most employers because they're not healthcare providers, But employers are governed by their obligations under the Americans with Disabilities Act, which does require them to keep medical information confidential. So it's still a similar requirement to maintain that confidentiality. It's just coming from a different federal statute. And so employers, a lot of this goes to your planning. If you're going to mandate a vaccine, if you're going to require employees to give you things like proof of vaccine that might have medical information, you need to make sure you're prepared ahead of time to how you're going to maintain that separate from personnel files and keep it confidential. So a lot of this goes back to planning. Whatever you're going to do, whether it's mandatory or voluntary with some encouragement, make sure you're planning on the front end for communicating with employees, making them feel like they're a part of the process, getting feedback, and that can really help this go a lot more smoothly.
We're talking with Brittany Lopez-Nollet, an attorney focusing on employment litigation. We're discussing whether COVID vaccine policy in the workplace is doable, and if so, what does it look like? With your questions, 800-642-1234. John is with us from Eau Claire with a question. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm allergic to the flu shot, or one of them, and if my employer is requiring me to keep my job, I need to get this vaccine, and I have an allergic reaction to it, can I hold my employer liable?
John, thank you. Brittany, go ahead.
Those are some questions that are going to get pretty fact-specific. Generally, claims against employers for workplace injury and illness would be covered by workers' compensation. So I can't tell you for sure yes or no. And again, obviously, if there are some potential medical risks, you should potentially go through that accommodation process with your employer and see whether there is an appropriate accommodation if the vaccine could be unsafe for you.
Brittany, circling back for a moment to incentives, would employers ever provide an incentive for gift cards or for any type of money or bonus?
There is some availability to do that, and that is where it does get a little bit gray, because the EEOC's current proposed rules attempted to clarify the scope of incentives, and they have provided that those incentives may be a de minimis incentive. But again, where is that line can be a little complicated. You know, if you're giving away gift cards in smaller denominations, maybe $20, $25, that may be relatively safe. But potentially, if you are giving away something of a larger value, I've seen recently in the news, I believe there's a meat processing company that was giving like potentially like $100, and I think a hospital system was giving $500. Those are going to be a little bit riskier from a liability standpoint until we get more guidance from the EEOC.
Let's turn to employers starting to phase in their workers back into the workplace if they've been having their workers work remotely from home. Can you talk about additional safety considerations that employers need to really have their ducks in a row on as they phase their employees back into the office?
Absolutely. Again, kind of the pre-planning and the communication is going to be really critical on this. OSHA just came out with some guidance that encourages employers to have a COVID, kind of a preparedness plan, and they list 16 different things that should potentially be in there. And it's everything from, how are we going to increase cleaning? Are we social distancing, wearing masks? What is the policy for communicating with employees if they are exposed or someone is ill? Checking your ventilation, what can you do to improve that? How are we going to handle if someone gets sick at work, including all of your guidelines for taking time off? It's helpful to have this comprehensive program and put in the work on the front end. That way, employees feel like you are putting their safety first. You're planning for them to be here and keep it safe. They can raise issues. And if there is a potential issue, you have something that you can use to show that, we have really taken steps to reduce risk here.
What happens with noncompliance when the employee refuses to wear a mask in the workplace?
So if you have an employee who is required to be wearing a mask, you know, obviously there may be some exceptions if people have an individual office or they're working where they're relatively isolated. There may be some lenience on that. But if you have a mandatory mask policy, it's going to be like any other workplace policy, and it needs to be enforced, and it needs to be enforced consistently.
Brittany, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brittany Lopez-Nalad is a partner at Reinhardt Berner Van Duren and based at its Milwaukee office. Coming up, we check in on the trucking industry to find out how freight operators are navigating supply and demand challenges and a sizable increase in freight shipping. Are you a trucker? How busy are you? What do you see going on the horizon? 800-642-1234. We'll look at over-the-road trucking after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.